আসসালামু আলাইকুম ওয়া রাহমাতুল্লাহি ওয়া বারাকাতুহু। আলহামদুলিল্লাহি ওয়া কাফা ওয়াস সালাতু ওয়াস সালামু আলা সাইয়্যিদিনিল মুস্তাফা সাল্লাল্লাহু আলাইহি ওয়া আলা আলিহি ওয়া আসহাবিহি ওয়া বারাকা ওয়া সাল্লামা তাসলিমা কাসীরা কাসীরা। أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أفتؤمنون ببعض الكتاب وتكفرون ببعض فما جزاء من يفعل ذلك منكم إلا خزي في الحياة الدنيا ويوم القيامة يردون إلى أشد العذاب وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ صدق الله العظيم Ulama-i Kiram, most respected brothers, this is the verse of the Quran Sharif which is part of a long ayat which I have been discussing over the past two or three weeks. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is addressing the Bani Israel, the Jews as we know them. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is informing them of their weaknesses, their shortcomings, and their spiritual problems. And why Allah Ta'ala, after having given them such a high position, after having given them a position of dignity, of respect, after Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala having showered His ni'mats and bounties upon them, unlimited, why did they then slide to the depths of disgrace, humiliation, shame? So many things have been discussed. But as I mentioned, that these ayat are not only for the Bani Israel. Allah Ta'ala has not revealed the Quran Sharif as a book of stories and fairy tales, na'uzu billah. Whatever is in there is a reality, it is haq, it is the truth, and it is a guidance for mankind until the day of Qiyamah. It is a guidance for all. It is a guidance for the Muslims, it is a guidance for those who are not Muslims. However, only those people will accept the guidance who believe in Allah Ta'ala, in His angels, in the last day, etc. But there is guidance in there for everybody. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He says, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. And I mentioned that this is our weakness, this is our sickness, this is our shortcoming, that we accept parts of the book and we reject other parts. Just what the Bani Israel did, that's exactly what we do. Those parts of the Quran Sharif which suit us, then we accept that. Or because there is a norm of the society that people are making amal and practicing upon that particular teaching, then we too will make amal on that. But those orders of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala which go against our nafs, which go against our own whims and fancies and desires, then those we will reject. Some people will reject it openly and they will say that these are not the times for making amal on those ayat of the Quran Sharif, and as such the Quran Sharif itself requires reformation and change, as we have had the Taslima of Bangladesh and so many others, the Rushdis and many many others who asked for a reformation and a change in the Quran Sharif itself. Now those people we are not going to really discuss and talk about, because we know that rejection of even one ayat of the Quran Sharif throws a person out of the pale of Islam. So we are not talking to them, we are not addressing them. I am addressing here myself and you who are believers in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and in the Akhirat, that is this not exactly our situation? That in all our activities of life, wherever it suits us, we will quote the Quran, we will quote the Hadith. But where it does not suit us, then there we will not make amal, and we will reject it by our action. We won't say it with our tongues, but our actions will show that we are rejecting this teaching of the Quran Sharif. I gave you many examples. Now let us take, for example, the nikah. Now every Muslim will say that these are the requirements of marriage in Islam. That there must be a proposal, there must be an acceptance, there must be witnesses. All these things we will discuss. And as a result, many of us will take the step further and we will say that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has informed us, or he has said that these nikahs should be announced and they should be made in the masjids. So we will even take that step and we will have the nikah in the masjid. Now this shows that we have accepted part of the teachings of the Quran Sharif, that we have conducted the nikah as Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have ordered. Now let us take the step further. After the nikah what? Or before the nikah what? Is that not rejection of parts of the Quran Sharif and acceptance of parts? All that music and intermingling and stage decorations where the groom and the bride exchange rings and shake hands, and where the bridesmaids in conjunction with all the others are seated or standing, and photographers are having a field's day admiring their beauties, and all the other sinful things that take place, is that not a rejection of other parts of the Quranic teachings? Then we go even further. After the nikah, when it comes to the fulfillment of the rites, when it comes to the fulfillment of the rights of the wife, or the treatment of the wife, the love, the compassion, the care, the kindness, all those teachings of Islam and Sharia, are they obeyed or are they rejected? If they were obeyed, we would not have been ending up with so much of abuse cases. And on the other hand, the wives, all those teachings of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to obedience to the husband, care, love, and all the other teachings that go with it, how much of it is fulfilled? So it is an acceptance of parts of the Quran Sharif and rejection of other parts. I can go on, but I just want to give you one or two more examples. Take our businesses. When it comes to our businesses, we all will say that it is a teaching of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kasbul halal farizatun ba'dal fariza. So this earning of livelihood is a farz duty upon a person after he has fulfilled the other farais. Then we will quote all the virtues of tijarat and of business which have been mentioned in the Quran and in the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And we will also give examples of how certain Nabis were in certain professions. We will give all those examples. Then we will also say Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a great trader. And Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and so many others, we will mention their names, that how they became rich and how they also went to the market and they did buying and selling and transacted business. So we will quote all those things. Not only that, we will even quote Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that before Nubuwat, Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the merchandise of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha and he went for trade to Syria. Now all these things we will quote. That means acceptance of a part of the Quran Sharif, which is tijara, which is trade, which is transactions. Then in that same trade after that, now let us look at the other side of the coin. The person, before he even starts that business, is already gone to the bank manager. How much of loan can I get because I want to establish an industry, or I want to put up this factory, or I want to put up this business and I require a loan. So now the bank manager will negotiate a loan. Now which bank manager in these days gives you a loan without interest? And now look at the ayats of the Quran Sharif, how hard and severe they are on the taking and the giving of interest. Or look at the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that how severe they are on the person that transacts with interest, the writer of the interest, the taker of the interest, the giver of the interest, the witnesses to that interest transaction. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has cursed all of them. Is this not an acceptance of part of the Quran Sharif and rejection of another part? Then if we suffer humiliation and disgrace, then is this not ayat applicable to us? أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do you accept parts of the book and reject other parts? فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْقَلُ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. What else can be the punishment for such people? What else can be the reward? Allah Ta'ala says jaza, or the punishment. Except khizyun fil hayati dunya, in their worldly life, disgrace, embarrassment, shame, humiliation, anything you can translate it as or give the meaning of. But that is what will come upon that individual who is indulging in this. And if not the individual, then all the individuals put together who make the society, then this is the azab that will come upon them. No matter what kind of government they may have, and no matter what kind of businesses they may have, and no matter what kind of wealth they have, but they will not enjoy that respect, that honor, that dignity, that peace, that satisfaction, that tranquility, that serenity, that joy, and that happiness that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives to the true believers. That sukoon that Allah ta'ala has promised to the believers, and that government which Allah ta'ala has promised to those who are believers, who have iman and amal salih, we will not even smell that, irrespective of what we do. So again, in our businesses, it is rejection of parts of the Quran Sharif, and its acceptance of parts. Then if we look at our lifestyles in general, it is again the same thing. Wherever it suits us, then we will quote Quran, we will quote Sunnah. And in fact, nowadays, it is slander upon the wives of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam when our sisters quote Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and then they go without any kind of shame and haya and modesty, and they dance on the streets, and there is no question of hijab, or there is no question of the laws of Sharia being implemented. And when they are asked, they say Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha also led one campaign, and they have no knowledge of what that campaign was all about and what Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said after that. But they will quote the wives of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If this is not slander, then what is it? For all our evils, we find no one else but the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu ajma'in. For our evil business transactions, we quote businesses of the Sahaba Ikram. For our evil nikah practices and our evil walima functions, all the haram things that we do, we will find some sort of justification that this is a walima. So what is wrong if we do this? It is an occasion of happiness. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that you must be happy at the time of nikah, there must be happiness. Now who says you must sit and cry at the time of nikah? If the bridegroom after the nikah comes home and he's only crying, and if the wife comes home and she's only crying, then will there be happiness in that marriage? So there must be happiness. But even on that occasion of nikah, the three ayats that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam chose for the khutbah of nikah, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqu rabbaku. Three ayats all saying Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqu. O ye believers, fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That means fear the displeasure of Allah. The displeasure of Allah is worse than the azab of Jahannam. Therefore I say it is very easy if we have to encourage a person to go for Hajj, it is very easy. And if you give the person a free ticket, then of course everybody is ready to grab and move. But to bring that spirit of Hajj into our lives, Alhamdulillah, many of our Hujjaj throughout South Africa have returned. So therefore we have to always keep in mind, Sukune jahan tum kahan dhoondte ho, سکون جہاں ہے نظام مدینہ، سکون جہاں تم کہاں ڈھونڈتے ہو، سکون جہاں ہے نظام مدینہ. Where are you searching for that سکون؟ Everybody wants peace in his own life, in his home, in his society and in his country, and he wants international peace. سکون جہاں تم کہاں ڈھونڈتے ہو، سکون جہاں ہے نظام مدینہ. That نظام which رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم brought for the امت، that program that Nabi علیہ السلام gave to the امت، that beautiful way of life and that beautiful culture and those beautiful teachings that رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم gave to the امت، if you really want peace in your own lives, within your families, in the society, nationally and internationally, then there is nowhere else you will get it except in the Nizam of Madina Sharif. Look at the lives of the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. In fact, that is what I was supposed to speak on, analyzing the lives, but my mind went on a different track. So, Sukoon-e Jahan hai Nizam-e Madina. O Azad Akhtar غمِ دو جہاں سے، ہو آزاد اختر غمِ دو جہاں سے، جو ہو جائے دل سے غلامِ مدینہ. ہو آزاد اختر غمِ دو جہاں سے، جو ہو جائے دل سے غلامِ مدینہ. From all the worries of both worlds, you will become azad and you will become free and you will become unchained if only you tie yourself very firmly and strongly with the chain of the ishq and the muhabbat of Rasool-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we really want to free ourselves, if we really want freedom, true freedom, then that true freedom will only come if we tie ourselves with the chains of the muhabbat of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Outwardly, when a person is chained, we say he loses his freedom. But this person will get true freedom when he will tie himself up with the chains of the muhabbat of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, we will never ever find peace and sukoon, no matter how much we may try. It is a world of means. So therefore I repeat that don't misunderstand me when I say these things, that you must not make use of the means. For example, the ATV, I discussed it in one of the Jummah Bayans. It is indeed a terrible bill. It is indeed a terrible bill and a horrible bill. And it will affect the Muslim community, and not only the Muslim community, the entire population. Detention without trial and all those things will become norm if we just have the wrong rulers. But we have to look at it, that where is this all coming from? We can sway as much as we like America and Bush and Blair and all the others. But until we don't make amal on all parts of the Quran Sharif, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has said, what else is the jaza illa khizyun fil hayati dunya? Khizyun fil hayati dunya. We will have to take begging bowls and keep running around. In fact, this ayat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had ordered the Bani Israel many other things, but besides that, just before this ayat, Allah ta'ala had ordered them three things, or two things, in which Allah ta'ala had said that you must not kill each other. They were told that now you are, both of you, or all of you are following the book. Book has been revealed to you. So now you should not kill each other, and you should not banish one another from their own homes. Sometimes that banishment of person goes into exile. Why? Because he is harassed so much by the laws of the government or by other individuals. So the person says, I'd rather leave this country and go away. So like that, if you have, they were told that these are things you must not do. And if one of them is arrested, then you must ransom the person. If one of your persons is arrested, is in prison, he became a captive of war, then you must ransom him. Now there's a long story to the fight that was going on between the Aus and Khazraj and the Jewish tribe, Banu Qurayza and Banu Nazir and all the rest of it. There's no time for tafsir here. But what I want to do is just to convey to you that what they did is that they rejected the first two. The first two they rejected. But if somebody came as a captive, then they ransomed him. And when they were asked that you were the ones that were the cause of this person being banished or going into exile, or you were the cause of all this war and problems that took place, and now again you are paying the ransom, said, no, because it's an order of Allah. It's an order that we have been given, so therefore we are carrying out this. So parts of the book they accepted, parts of it they rejected. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said that they will get nothing but disgrace in this world. And what kind of disgrace came upon them? So if we have to look at Tunisia, Algeria, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and so many other countries, how many people have gone into exile? How many people have left their countries? How many have become refugees? Why? Because of the oppressive nature of the laws and the tyranny and the draconian laws. Now because of that they have to leave. And then again the support that they used to give, like these Jews, the support that they used to give to the enemies against their own people. So in the same way the Muslims, whether it is Turkey or the other members of the coalition, whether it is Qatar or whoever they may be, now the support that they are giving to the enemies against their own brothers and sisters. So then what else is going to be the outcome except khizyun fil hayati dunya wa yawm al qiyamati yuradduna ila ashad al azab? Disgrace, embarrassment, shame and humiliation. And because of them the whole ummah has to put its head down in shame. But then again our weakness is that we will always look far away. Yes, indeed they are mistaken, they should not have done this, and they are at fault, and they are selling the Muslims, and they are accepting the bribes wholesale. Now we will only look at that, but we won't come back again to our individual level and see that how much of the Quran Sharif have I accepted in my life and how much of it have I rejected in my life. Because whatever will happen there will happen, but our individual selves, it is going to be according to our actions that Allah Ta'ala will deal with us. And if we are going to do the same thing in our nikahs and in our walimas and in our businesses and in our homes and in our relationship with our parents and with our family members and with our wives and with our children, then we will get exactly the same thing. Khizyun fil hayati dunya afatu'minuna bi ba'dhi al-kitabi wa takfuruna bi ba'd. So if we really want freedom, then we have to tie ourselves in those chains of muhabbat of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Whether we like it or not, whether our nafs squeals or makes a noise or puts up an argument, whatever it does, but we have to suppress that nafs, then Allah Ta'ala will give us sukoon in our lives. Wallah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give us sukoon in our lives irrespective of the outside conditions. This individual, Allah Ta'ala will give him sukoon in his life. Even if the price of goods and commodities goes sky high, or if that person is living in a hut or a shack, or if this person is sick and ill and weak, or if this person is in any other condition, but within his heart it will be like that flower that blooms in the midst of thorns. And he will always enjoy this closeness and marifat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, which will bring him tranquility in the heart, which will never be disturbed irrespective of the outside conditions. Now this is what I am seeking from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and I am desirous that each and every one of you make a little effort towards attaining this which Allah ta'ala gives within the heart. And inshallah, when we get that little taste of that, then we will never want to go back to our sinful lifestyles. If not, then I conclude again that that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, alamatu iradillahi ta'ala anil abd ishtighaluhu fima la ya'ni, that when a person engages in useless and futile activities which help him no way in this world or the akhirat, then that is a sign that Allah Ta'ala has turned away his glance of rahmat and mercy from that person. Now when large number of people in the Muslim community are dealing with interest, taking interest, giving interest, and even our banks, Islamic banks of the world, if we have to really analyze and go deep into the transactions, I'm talking about banks of the world which are Islamic banks, there are so many, they are accumulating the interest money, accumulating it, and then they give loans from that same interest money. And many a times then they charge profit also again on that interest. And when that profit comes in, it goes again to the shareholders. When there's so much of people engaged in haram transactions, when there's so much of people engaged in totally futile activities, especially when it's a World Cup, soccer cup and cricket cup and this cup and that cup, then what do we expect at such a time if not restlessness, anxieties, worries, problems, difficulties, hardships and all kinds of other disasters. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq of sincere tawbah from all my sins, and you the tawfiq of sincere tawbah, and the entire ummah the tawfiq of sincere tawbah. May Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, hardships and problems that the ummah is facing in this country, other parts of the world, and especially at present in Iraq, in Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Palestine and other parts. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.